Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are those who say that Christianity is not for this age. Of course, this is one of the statements of those who hate Christianity, and they'd like to speak in a derogatory manner toward it. But Christianity is for this age. Oh, I know the critics say it might have been all right for ages past, for not now. And there be some who claim to be Christians who have said that they wouldn't want to be a Christian if it wasn't in heaven. Why, they consider the time and the energy expended on being a Christian is something that, well, it just simply does not pay in this day. It is not uncommon to hear people sometimes phrase, "You just can't get ahead in this world and be a Christian." Well, it sort of depends upon what you're trying to get ahead in. Because this attitude is expressed, we need to ask, does it pay in this life to serve Christ? Well, we would insist that the evidence is, the answer is an emphatic yes, it pays to be a Christian every day. Now, in the study that we're going to have today and the next lesson, we're not going to be particularly concerned with the reward that is after this life. Now, we most assuredly do not dismiss it, but we're confining our investigation to our existence in the here and now. You see, there are those who would have us to believe that this life is all there is anyway, and if that be the case, nothing really matters. Nothing is of eternal benefit or suffering, whatever. It really doesn't make any difference what you do. You're just going to wind up in a hole in the ground. But our inquiry is this. If this earthly life was all there is to our existence, would it be worthwhile to be a Christian? Now, again, please do not misunderstand. The greatest benefit and reward of Christianity has to do with the life that is to follow this one, not this one. Paul wrote, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." 2 Timothy 4:6-8. Yes, the Apostle Paul looked forward to the reward that is after this life. But you know, sometimes people do not consider the cost that is involved in being a Christian. And there is a cost to be paid, and some are just simply not willing to pay it. Christ said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" Luke 14:28. You see, friend, there is a cost to being a faithful Christian. And some have started on the journey with Christ, but they decided it was more than that for which they bargained, and therefore they have forsaken him, thinking that it did not pay in this life to be a Christian. Well, when we think about the cost of being a Christian, let's consider some of the things that are involved. There's the need for self-control. That's one of the characteristics of being a Christian, as listed by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. And a lot of people just simply do not have self-control. And that's something that has to be learned and developed. Self-control, or temperance, that was a characteristic of Jesus Christ, the one whom we are to pattern our lives after. The value of this trait is immeasurable in the affairs of this life. Consider for a moment the danger of things being out of control. How dangerous is it for an airplane to be out of control, or an automobile to be out of control? But far worse situations exist when people lose control of themselves. Sometimes the whole world can be adversely affected when people get out of control. We're all familiar with the madness of people in the past, like Hitler and Stalin, and we could name some that are even existing in our own day that don't seem to have any control over themselves. The Christian must control himself, control his lust and his appetites and his passions, control his desire for power and for wealth, and even control those things that are necessary to the sustenance of life. How much harm is done all around because of the loss of control over the mind and over the temper and over the body. One who possesses self-control, he won't bear malice toward others. He won't try to harm others. He won't seek revenge toward others. He tries to be a blessing to others. It's obvious that life can be miserable for a person and those around him when this Christian quality of self-control is lacking. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." Notice now, "He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Ah, friend, control of ourselves, control of our tongue, control of our habits, control of our behavior, control of the way we treat other people and how we react and respond to situations in life. That is so important, because when a person does not have that self-control, have himself under control, why, there's disaster and chaos to himself and to all those round about. But now, closely akin to self-control is self-denial. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now notice, friend, that which is to be denied is not pleasure, it's not money, it's self. That is, self is no longer the one that is most concerned with our thinking and our behavior and what we do. We are no longer governed by our own will, but by the will of the Lord. I had a granddaughter that was asked one time, "Who makes the decisions in your family?" And of course, the one that was asking was wondering whether it was the wife or the husband, the mother or the father. But this little granddaughter said, "God makes the decisions for our family." Well, that's what it's supposed to be. Self-denial. We do not rule our own lives. A person makes himself secondary, and that for the benefit of God and the benefit of others. That is necessary. That's a cost of Christianity. His own ambitions and his own goals, they can be satisfied if that is what is best for the spiritual welfare of those round about. He must love Christ and others more than anything or anyone, including himself. In Matthew 10 and verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Friend, loyalty, allegiance to first to Christ before all others, including self, that's a part of the cross, cost of being a Christian. And if one is not willing to deny himself and his own will and put the will of the Lord first, then indeed he will not be acceptable before God in judgment. Oh, we need to examine ourselves to know where our primary loyalties really lie. And then again, there's another cost to Christianity: obedience. Now, obedience requires something of the person that obeys. Obedience is a cost to be paid for being a Christian. It's a cost to be paid to become a Christian. John wrote the words of Jesus in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. The book of Hebrews tells us that Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Are we to conclude that he's the author of salvation to those who will not obey anyway? You know, the well done to be heard from the Lord will be heard by those who are good and faithful servants. And faithfulness demands obedience. Possibly one of the mistaken concepts that people have about being a Christian is sometimes they can have this sort of hit-or-miss kind of service that will suffice as well as faithful service. When we obey a command, we're not earning our way to heaven. We don't do what we do just because we think it's reasonable, just because we think it's convenient, but we do it because the Lord has taught us to do that, and that is what he expects. We should do what the Lord wants us to do, if for no other reason, because the Lord wants us to do it. That's the cost of being a faithful child of God. God tells us many times why he has commanded certain things, and he tells us what is to be done in obedience to that command. But we should serve God not out of convenience, but out of conviction. So let us briefly just sum up the cost involved in being a Christian by saying we must give our lives to the Lord, a living sacrifice, as Paul wrote in Romans 12. While Paul lived, he served. And he was willing to die in order to be faithful. Oh, yes, he was willing to live, if that's what God wanted him to do, to help others. But he was willing to even to give up this life in order to be with Christ. That's how committed he was to being obedient to the Lord. Now, let's don't overlook the fact that choosing to serve Christ means that all hell will be arrayed against you. You'll have your enemies. You'll have your opponents. You'll have people that'll try to discourage you. You'll have people who will say, it doesn't pay in this life to be a Christian. But friend, to refuse to serve Christ means that you only array yourself against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we do not need to be surprised if they be those that may well hate us. Jesus said, ye know that it hated me before it hated you, John 15 and verse 18. Well, we've just touched today on some of the cost of being a Christian. We've certainly not exhausted them, but just simply pointed out there are costs in being a Christian. And sometimes that makes some people think, well, the costs are just too much. That's just not worthwhile. It's just too hard in this life to be a Christian. Does it pay in this life to be a Christian? Well, the costs are there. But why count the cost? Do we count the cost to try to decide whether to be a Christian or not? Or do we count the cost simply to learn what must be done to be obedient to the master? Like two people that go into the showroom of an automobile place. One has already decided he's going to buy the car. He wants to know the price, so he'll know what to pay. The other, he hasn't decided. The cost is going to make him decide. Friend, we must decide to serve the Lord regardless of what the cost might be. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to look at some of the benefits and the blessings that we enjoy in this life for being a Christian. And we hope that you will be listening. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.